Psalm 100. I'm going to be reading a couple of verses from somewhere else, but we're preaching today about the power of Thanksgiving. If you have a bulletin, you have an outline there in the bulletin, and we hope you will look at it. On the back of the bulletin, you have a place to take some notes with. What a blessing those notes are. I've been reaping the benefits of notes I've taken 50 years ago or more. God, even yesterday, pulling out some of those notes that I jotted down a long time ago. I'm reading a couple of verses from Romans chapter 1. You stay right where you are, okay? And then we're going to go to Psalm 100. Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They were not thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not, and they were not thankful. Look, please, at Psalm 100. We're going to read this together, okay? You have your Bible now. Some of you know it by heart. That's okay. I'm going to read from my Bible because I tend to get too fast when I'm quoting it, okay? All right, Psalm 100, and we're going to start with verse 1. Reading through the entire psalm, starting with verse 1. Are you ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and praise bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's read that fifth verse together again, one more time, the fifth verse. Are you ready? Good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The power of thanksgiving. Be seated, please, our Father. We come to You in prayer. We ask that You might move powerfully and mightily in the service today and get glory to Your name. May we truly see the power of thanksgiving, the power of a thankful heart. Lord, I pray that You may help us to listen and to hear Your word today, and Lord, to understand what You're speaking unto us today. We say, O Lord, speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. For we ask it in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, Amen. We think about Thanksgiving. Who is it that came up with the idea of Thanksgiving? Who in the world was it? Was it the pilgrims who suddenly discovered Thanksgiving? Or was it David who discovered the matter of Thanksgiving? Really, God is the author of Thanksgiving. God is the one who has caused us to understand the truth of Thanksgiving. When I think about Thanksgiving, we think about the Thanksgiving season, we immediately think about the pilgrims who came to this country a long time ago, actually 1621, when they came to this country. Almost 400 years ago, the pilgrims came to this country. And they came here not for gold, but they came here for God. They came here to find freedom and came here to find liberty. And those first ones who came in 1620, those pilgrims on the Mayflower, you know the story of that. When they came here, finally got here to this country, and they, before they left the ship, they fell on their knees and thanked God and praised God for the blessing of the trip and for the blessings of starting a new life and a new country and a new history of what I believe is the greatest nation upon the face of the earth. Outside of Israel, there are two great countries and two great nations in history, and that is Israel, God's earthly people, and the nation of America. No other countries that I know of began with people who came to a country and started a new country because they loved God, they wanted to serve God, and they wanted to have freedom. And so we think about them in the first winter that they were here. 102 left on the ship, and when they got here the first winter, half of them, by the end of the first winter, half of them were dead. Half of them had died because of disease and because of starvation and all the things that came about. But God was in them coming to this country. And it was the will of God and the purpose of God that they came here in that first Thanksgiving in 1621 as they celebrated a bountiful harvest. And they thought, thank God for all that He had done. Thankfulness is something that's so important. Jesus was constantly giving thanks. He was constantly thanking the Father. When He fed the great multitudes, before He passed the food out, He gave thanks to God for the food. And in the upper room, at that last supper in the upper room, before they took the bread and the fruit of the vine, He took the cup, the Word of God says, and He gave thanks. And thanksgiving was constantly upon His lips. And thanksgiving should be constantly upon our lips. When I think about thanksgiving, I remember a friend of mine was talking about, he's a different denomination, and he said, Bill said, what kind of prayer book do y'all have at your church? Do y'all have a prayer book at your church? And he was talking about that, he was complaining about how that they changed the old, taken away the old prayer book and given them a new prayer book. And he said, what kind of prayer book do the Baptists have, a prayer book? And I said, yes, they have a prayer book, and it's called the Bible. This is the greatest prayer book that I can think of. And what a joy to take the Psalms. Have you ever done that? Take the Psalms and pray through those Psalms. If you say, I don't know what to say and I don't know how to pray, just open your Bible to the book of Psalms and begin to pray. Begin to pray the Psalms. What a blessing it is. And so, yes, Baptists do have a prayer book, and it's called the Bible, God's Holy Word. And so this 100th Psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm of praise to God. As he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land, a joyful noise. Now, God did not say that we're to sing pretty, but he said that we're to give a glad shout to him, a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to sing to the Lord. We're to sing to him. I remember when I first met Martha a long time ago, I was at a church to sing. A friend of mine was a preacher boy, and he asked me to go sing for him. And so when I got up to sing, I looked back in the back, and I saw a pretty girl with her mom and dad. And that was what you call love at first sight. I was in love, yes, in love. And so she said, now she accused me of this, that I sang the song to her constantly. I don't know. I guess I did. But anyway, we're to sing to the Lord. We're to make a joyful shout unto him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. We're to serve him not with, well, I got to go to church this morning. I really don't want to go to church. But we're to sing. We say, boy, it's great. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us do what? Go to the house of the Lord. And so we should go to God's house with joy. We should serve God with joy. We should serve him with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Our people talk about, oh, it's terrible. It's so hard to serve God. And sometimes I hear preachers complain about, oh, how hard it is and difficult it is to be a preacher. I'll tell you, it's a joy to preach the gospel. It's wonderful to preach the gospel. It is so wonderful that I don't even call it work. I mean, it's not work. It's a joy to serve God, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. That's a 100th psalm. And God commands us to sing. When you come, you say, well, I can't sing. Make a joyful noise. That's, God didn't say sing like an opera, grand opera, or it doesn't say sing like grand old opera. You'll get that in a moment. Okay? He just says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. There's no one here. There's not anyone here who can't make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So when you come to God's house, God commands you to sing. Now, everybody ought to sit up here and just watch and look at the congregation. Boy, you see everything. You really do. Well, I'm not going to sing. Nobody. Brother Mike, you can't make me sing. No, sirree. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to open my mouth. But God says that we're to come before His presence with singing. There's joyful singing. There's joyful security. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. There are no self. You've heard people say, oh, he's a self-made man. Oh, no, he isn't. Oh, no, they're not any self-made man. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We're not to pat ourselves on the back on how great we are and to sing about ourselves how great and how wonderful we are. We're to remember that he's the one. He is God. And He made us and not we ourselves. And He says that we're to speak joyfully, enter His gates with thanksgiving and end His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We are to be joyful, speak His word joyfully. And we're to be joyfully submissive. As He says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generation. So it's wonderful to be thankful. So I want to ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how thankful are you? Are you a thankful person? Would your mate say that you're a thankful person? Would your siblings say, brothers and sisters say, are you a thankful person? Would your children say that you're a thankful person? I remember a lady I used to work with a long time ago before I started preaching. And the preacher's not work, okay, but I was working in those days. And I'd come in the morning by her office, and I'd stick my head in the door, and I'd say, good morning, how you doing? And she'd say, what's good about it? Boy, I sure would have hated to have been her husband. Man, what a great cross he had to bear. I mean, married a woman like that. What's good about it? Well, it's wonderful to be alive, amen? Oh, to be alive and to be know Christ and to have have God's word, and so it's so poisonous to be unthankful. God said in Romans 1:21-22, talked about that in the latter days, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that people would be unthankful. It lists unthankfulness with all the hideous sins. And so God is saying to us that unthankfulness is a hideous sin. It's a hideous sin. It is terrible to be unthankful. It is pathetic to be unthankful. And so God tells us that we need to really have a thankful heart. You've heard about those who grumble. Now, I know you know people that grumble, don't you? They grumble and they complain and they gripe. Someone has said that when some of the grumblers and complainers leave the room, they brighten up the place where they leave. You know that old song Billy Sunday, like, brighten the corner where you are. And how much brighter it gets when they just exit and leave and go on because they're grumbling and complaining, I don't like this job and I don't like this place and I don't like the person I work for and I don't like my customers. If you don't have customers, you're not going to have a job. Did you know that? And some people, I remember Martha and I were in New York City when we first got married. We went up there one Thanksgiving. One morning we got up and we lived in Maryland, at Laura, Maryland. I said, Martha, let's go to New York City. She said, New York City? I said, let's go to New York. So we jumped in the car, drove up the pikeway, and went through the tunnel and drove out and parked on Fifth Avenue, country boy. just parked and went up to the to see some of the tall buildings, and I really embarrassed Martha. And I go, I'm looking up, you know, I'm walking down the street and looking up, said, "My, Martha," said, "boy, that building sure would hold a bunch of shucks, wouldn't it?" She said, "Will you please be quiet?" And how friendly, I hope nobody here's from New York today, how friendly the New Yorkers are. We walked in the place to get something to eat, and the guy said, "What do you want?" Really, I mean, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well," he said, "hurry up. I mean, come on." He didn't know I was from the South. I guess he could tell that by looking at me. What, look at that country bumpkin. What in the world? And so we need to have thankful hearts. We need to have a pleasant attitude. So I think about very quickly. I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't usually ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to some passages about thankfulness in the book of Psalms. Psalm 26 and verse 7. Psalm 26 and verse 7. As we think about sharing Thanksgiving very quickly, sharing Thanksgiving. Psalm 26 and verse 7. "That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." He's talking about sharing thanksgiving. He said, "I want to publish thanksgiving. I want to tell people about thanksgiving. I want to let people know. I want to encourage thanksgiving and thankfulness in my family, in my home, with my mate, my children. I want to be a thankful individual." And so we began to get our focus upon God. And we began to think about who He is. We began to think about His attributes. We think about how He loves us. We think about what He means unto us. We began to adjust our focus and get our minds off of ourselves and get our minds upon God. The most dangerous thing you can get your mind on is to get your mind on yourself. That's the most terrible thing that you can do. And so people today, I don't know what's going to happen to us. You know, they have these things here, and I have one, and they're really important if you know how to use them. But they spend their life, instead of talking to somebody next to them, you know what they do? They text them.
Go ahead,
brother. That's right. They text them. And they're doing this number all the time. You know, And not learning how to talk to people. It's important to know how to talk to people. If you want to get a job, you're going to have to know how to talk to people. If you're going to want to keep a job, you're going to want to know how to talk to people. So it's important to realize that people are the main thing. God so loved, He didn't so love an iPhone. He so loved the world. He loved people. I see people eating meals instead of talking to each other. They're sitting there. And you know, and don't say a word to each other. And the kid's sitting there, and there they are. And I mean, it's quiet. I mean, to everybody, the only sound's the thumbs moving on the phone. It's terribly quiet. And so we need to be sharing of Thanksgiving and have our minds upon God. I've been telling y'all a whole bunch of hog stories, okay, lately. And I will let you know that all the hogs are gone now. The pigs are gone. We thought they were gone, but last Sunday afternoon, one of them showed up, waved at him and said, "Hey, Bill, how you doing?" Oink, oink. Out there just rooting up the yard and all like that, and ran him out. And as he's leaving, I said, "We'll see you in the morning. If you come back, we're going to see you in the morning. And we're going to have a special gift for you when you come back in the morning." So I'm happy to report to you, he will not come back anymore. He is gone. He is gone to pig heaven. You've heard people talk about, "Oh, I'm in hog heaven." Well, there's not a hog heaven, okay. But no hog is really. Don't you love ham? I love ham, country ham. Amen. Bacon. But they are the most obnoxious animals that I have ever seen. And they don't ever look up. They can go out in an apple orchard and the apples drop down. They just oink, oink, and go ahead and eat them and go through your yard looking for acorns. And they don't ever look up. Hogs don't ever look up to realize where the blessings come from. And you and I, when we are unthankful, we're like pigs. We're like hogs who never give God thanks and who never give God praise and give God glory. Now, I hope there's nobody here this morning who would sit down to a meal and start grabbing the grub, you know, both hands, and never close your eyes and bow your head and thank God. One of the most wonderful things I see in restaurants is people who have prayer. And the husband will take his wife's hand and they'll take her hand and they will join hands and they'll pray together. And it's a beautiful, wonderful sight. But it's a horrible sight to see somebody come in and put their plate down and just start, grub is flying everywhere. I mean, it's going, and they're putting it in this hand, that hand, the other hand, and never look up to thank God. And I think, what a pig. What a pig. And so God wants us to be thankful. There's a sharing of thanksgiving, thankfulness. I heard about a man, his name was Edward Spencer. He was a college student. He was a good swimmer. And he was up on the lakes there and heard about a crash, a boat that went down. And he went to see if he could help. And he rescued one person after another. Actually, he rescued 17 people. 17 people. So much so as he would swim, bring them in, and go back to get another one. Bring them in, and go back to get another one. Save the lives of 17 people. So much that he put such a strain on his body that it actually destroyed his health. Someone was interviewing him one day and said to him, "How many of those 17 people that you saved their lives came back and said, 'Thank you'?" And he said, "Not a single one." Not a single one of the 17 people that he saved their life and ruined and wrecked his health came back to say, "I thank you." Not only the sharing of thanksgiving, but the sacredness of thanksgiving. Let me get my Bible here again. I got all shook up with my pig stories, okay? And lost my Bible. Turn to Psalm 69 and verse 30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. We see the sacredness of thanksgiving. "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving." Do you realize that thankfulness is sacred? Thankfulness magnifies God. Thanksgiving magnifies him. The prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer begins with praise. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." It begins with thankfulness and it ends with thankfulness. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." Even prayer begins with thanksgiving and thankfulness. Our prayer should not begin with, "Gimme, get my name Jimmy, and gimme, 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 gimme." Our prayers should begin with thankfulness. How sacred thankfulness is. I heard about a little girl who got the scriptures all mixed up, and she was quoting it, and she was attempting to quote the verse, "If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you, who can be against you?" And he, instead of saying that, quoting it like it was, he said, "If God's not for you, you're up against it." If God's not for you, you're up against it. So the sharing of thanksgiving, we should exude thankfulness in all the parts of our life. And it's sacred it's sacred to be thankful. Thirdly, very quickly, the spirit of thanksgiving. I won't ask you to turn this because you've already looked at it. It is Psalm 104. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The spirit of thanksgiving. You've heard the story. It's an old story about the pig and the chicken that were going to have a banquet. Do you remember that story? And so they were trying to get the menu together about the chicken and the pig. And the chicken said, "We're going to have a banquet. I'm going to bring something. And what I will do is I'll bring an egg." And then she said to the pig, and said, "You bring the ham. I'll bring the eggs, and you bring the ham." Well, to the chicken, it was just a contribution. But for the pig, it was a sacrifice. A sacrifice. And we should always have the spirit of thanksgiving. We should always be thankful for his grace. For by grace are you saved. We should be thankful for God, for his gifts. If you go down a country road, and I love to watch, I'm an old country boy, look at the pastures and look at what condition the pasture fences are in. And you go down there and you see a fence post, and you see a turtle up on top of a fence post. You know something's really wrong, because turtles can't climb. They can't climb. And they got up on that turtle got on a fence post because somebody put them there. And there's so many things that other people do for us. And we didn't get to where we are by ourselves. It is God who put us where we are. And so many people who've been helpful and kind and loving to us. And so we have the spirit of thanksgiving, not just on the fourth Thursday in November. We thank him. We thank him for his goodness, for what he has done for us and who he is. But not only the sharing of thanksgiving and the sacredness of thanksgiving and the spirit of thanksgiving, but fourthly, very quickly, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The sacrifice of thanksgiving. Turn to Psalm 107 and verse 22. Psalm 107 and verse 22. Psalm 107 and verse 22. "And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." Did you realize that thankfulness is a sacrifice that we offer to God? That thankfulness is something that we offer, first of all, to God. It's an upward sacrifice that we thank him for. We thank him for his direction. We thank him for his deliverance, how that he has saved us from the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. And how he's saving us from the power of sin. "And sin shall not have dominion over you," God said in his word. And he's ultimately going to save us from the very presence of sin. We call that glorification. I was talking to somebody recently about the doctrine of salvation, and I mentioned glorification. And this guy's daddy was a preacher, and he's probably, I don't know, maybe he'd been a deacon, I don't know. And he said, "What you mean glorification?" What do I mean glorification? You don't understand what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about how the fact is that God is going to save us from the very presence of sin. He's going to give those of us who are saved a new body, and we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. J. Vernon McGee was one of the great preachers of the past. He was pastor of the Church of the Open Door in L.A. That's Los Angeles, L.A. That is not Lower Alto, okay? You'll get that in a moment. Lower Alto. There are four cities. I'm from up in that part of the country. And there's Alto. Then there's Baldwin. That's where I grew up. Then there's Canilla. And then there's Demarest. That's the ABCD cities there in Habersham County. And so he was from L.A. And he has through the Bible on the radio, still on there. He's gone to be with the Lord a long time ago because of cancer. He told a story about one of the Rose Bowl parades, and all the floats that they had in the Rose Bowl float. And one of them was a Standard Oil float. And it had all kinds of beautiful flowers on it. Standard Oil. In those days, Standard Oil meant a whole lot more than it does today. And so they were going along with the parade. And you know what happened to the Standard Oil float? It ran out of gas. Can you believe it? It ran out of gas. Everybody just roared with laughter and got on their knees laughing at the Standard Oil float in the Rose Bowl parade before all the people on television ran out of gas. And you know, it is a sacrifice that we offer to God when we thank God, when we're thankful, when we have a good spirit, and we're thankful for what God has done. I was talking to a person recently, and they said to me, "Well, I don't have any reason for living. I don't have any reason for living." I said, "What? You mean you don't have any reason for living?" I began to bring some things to the person's mind. And I said, "You have every reason to be thankful. You have every reason to realize how blessed you are." And those are the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Finally, very quickly, the song of thanksgiving. Turn to Psalms 147 very quickly. All these verses, you will notice, have thanksgiving in them in the psalm. Psalm 147 and verse 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." Psalm 147 and verse 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, and praise upon the harp unto our God." So we're to sing and praise God, and to have a joyful spirit within us as we sing. What a wonderful thing. How great it is to be able to sing. I love to sing. I started singing, my parents said, before I really started talking real good. But I always love to sing. And do you sing I didn't say in the choir, do you sing in the shower, okay? I hope you do. Singing is just really important. It's necessary. Thankfulness is important to your mental health. Your mental health. If you want to be mentally healthy, if you want to be mentally healthy right here in between, right here, then you need to have a thankful heart. It will help your mental health. Stinking thinking is bad. It's bad. It's bad. And we need to constantly be thinking about one of the great things that would be good to do before you get up every morning, after you put on the armor of God, okay? And think of about seven things that you're thankful for. I mean, you just need to be constantly thanking God. It's amazing the things that you have to thank God for. We have a building that we built last year. Every time I go down there, I just say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. This is wonderful. This is what you gave it to us." I mean, I said, "Lord, I'll thank you every time I go down there." And there's just so many things to be thankful for. You think about those of us who grew up a long time ago, indoor plumbing. Isn't that wonderful? Huh? I mean, electric lights. I was born back in the dark ages. I think it was back at the ice age or something like that. And just to have electricity, just to have something to eat, just to have clothes to wear, just to have a car to drive. The old house, the first one I remember, way up on stilts, the old dogs would get under there, and you know, it's tough. We had running water, but it was down in the creek. I mean, man, the poor people called us poor. I mean, you know, really poor. And if you just begin to think about all the things I can't ride by this church without just saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done. I drove by the other day to the cemetery down on the creek. And I said, Lord, this is just wonderful. This is such a beautiful place. Some people said, when they move that church up there on Jefferson River Road, they're going to forget about the cemetery and they're going to abandon the cemetery. I said, praise God, this church didn't abandon the cemetery. It's better than it's ever been. And there's just so many things to be thankful for that you can see, that you can hear, that you have people who love you, that you have a wonderful, wonderful mate. And so, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. It'll help your mind. It might help you keep your mind. It might help you keep your thinking if you'll have a good attitude, a thankful attitude, and just going around saying, praise God for all these things. I ride down this four lane out here every time I get on it, and I say, thank you, Lord. It's wonderful to have that road. To ride down there to Crooked Creek, down there to go down there to preach. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, as our musicians come forward, we pray, O God, especially that we'll have a thankful heart. And Lord, I pray for that person who doesn't know you or isn't sure about their salvation. Lord, as we sing the invitation hymn, I pray that they'll come. Take us by the hand, let us open the Word of God and show them how that they might be saved. And Lord, there are those who have been saved but never professed you openly before men. And what a travesty that is, Lord. I pray that person who's been saved will walk forward today, openly profess you and follow you in believer's baptism. Lord, those who do not have a church home, we pray for them, that you might speak to them. But Lord, I pray that, Lord, that we'll come to the altar today and say, oh God, I want to know the power of thanksgiving. I want to know the power of thanksgiving in my life, in my heart. I want to be a thankful husband, a thankful father, a thankful son, a thankful daughter. Yes, a thankful employee. I want to be constantly in praise, adoration to you, that I'll offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, that my spirit, O God, will be thankful and sweet, O God, that my thoughts, O God, will be pleasant and powerful, and Lord, pointing people to our Savior. Father, we thank you and praise you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Before we stand, the invitation is very simple today, and she's going to be playing. We're not going to be singing. And maybe if you do not know Christ as Savior, not sure, I'll be standing here and have someone to show you how you can be saved. Or maybe you haven't made a public profession of faith and you've been saved. We invite you to come. Or maybe your membership is elsewhere and God is speaking to you. We invite you to come. But you know what? I believe I could be more thankful. And I believe I need to be more thankful. And I hope that there'll be those who will come kneel on the altar or come sit on the front pew and say, oh God, I really want to have a thankful heart and to constantly be offering unto you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Shall we stand, please, as you place?